the scripture reading from the Hebrews is in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and the length of days, so that you may live the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And from the Christians, this is in chapter 14, verses 25 to 33. Now, large crowds were traveling with him, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able, with 10,000, to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all of your possessions."
His work is stunningly beautiful. Well, that for me. When the head honcho has this artist in his office, I'm going to go with that. Next, I consulted our own Heidi Mario about the painting entitled Carrying Cross, which I think you see here, that I wish to feature this week. Heidi wrote back to me some thoughtful and interesting perspectives about the painting that I will share with you this morning. Next, on Friday night, that was 2 days ago, at the Wyndham World Affairs Council hosted here at our church, I spoke with a friend whose spirit and intellect I adore, Adam Silver. And he's also here this morning. Yes, and also his family, his spouse. Adam and his wife, who speak Chinese, they taught me on Friday the correct pronunciation of the artist, Chi. And finally, I told you this was a slow cook. I went to the Catholic Mass yesterday at St. Michael's, and I found the image that inspired the painting, number 6 in the Stations of the Cross. During this sermon series, I have learned, perhaps before anything else, that our interpretation of art, just like our interpretation of Scripture, is inspired by the wonderful people we encounter, the places that we visit, and the experiences that we absorb and savor. Before we look more closely at the painting Carrying the Cross, let us learn first of the artist, or a bit about his biography, because his story helps us to better understand his art. He Chi was among the many people sent to the countryside during the Chinese Cultural Revolution. And as a young man, he escaped hard labor by painting pictures of Chairman Mao Zedong. During those years, he once found a copy of Renaissance artist Raphael's Madonna and Child in a magazine. And he was so moved by it that he began to paint copies of it at night. Is this the painting of Madonna and Child? You can see it there. While I can only make conjectures, He Chi's art is what I would consider to be blunt. If we examine his art, most objects are large and obvious. It is almost as if He Chi wishes to thrust the images and the meanings therein in our faces. His art, including its shapes and colors, is bold. To an artistic neophyte like me, He Chi wishes to declare that no more is he creating art under the cover of night, under the surveillance of communists, or from the shame of a minority religion. In his art, there are few images with hidden meanings or covert themes. There aren't a lot of stealthy metaphors nor mystery. Instead, in contrast to his early days creating in the cloak of night, He Chi's art is strong, clear, obvious, and unmuffled. Thus, his is an unashamed proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. One commentary about Hochschild states, one can better understand his art when it is seen as a reinterpretation of sacred art within an ancient Chinese art idiom. Chinese religious art, being an expression of Buddhism, was historically typified as tranquil and utopian portrayal of nature, often painted with black ink and water. Hochschild is especially influenced by the simple and beautiful artwork of the people in rural China. And you can see that in the faces and in the figurines that he paints. Within that framework, he seeks to redefine the relationship between people and spirituality with bold colors, embellished shapes, and very thick strokes. His work is a blend of Chinese folk art and traditional painting technique with the iconography of Western, Middle Ages, and modern art. If you want to know more about that, just have a chat with Heidi or with Adam during the ice cream social. Now, let us examine the painting, Carrying Cross, which I felt beautifully blended with our scripture this morning. Maybe if we can turn to it. The scene is of Jesus being escorted to Golgotha, to his execution. Along the way, he is tortured, he's dehydrated, he's exhausted, and well, suffering. Heidi Mario writes, and I quote, "The woman with the handkerchief, do you see it there? She's in the bottom left. The woman with the handkerchief is Saint Veronica, who, legend has it, was overcome with pity upon seeing Jesus and gave him a cloth to wipe his face. Miraculously, the image of Jesus' face became imprinted on the cloth, and it became known as Veronica's veil." Heidi tells me that she actually has done a sculpture on this theme herself. Now, there are sort of two versions of this painting. I think the one that you're looking at now doesn't have the imprint of Jesus' face on the handkerchief. But the first one, I think, that I showed you does. Now, there are other similarities other than the handkerchief in the two images. For example, you can see the peace sign that Jesus gives. Or, I don't know, you can perhaps interpret that as a victory sign. The soldier is not dressed in the attire of a Roman warrior, but instead in the combat accoutrements similar to that of the famous terracotta soldiers. We can see a whip in both, and perhaps a dagger or short sword in the other. While on the first glance, the face of Jesus is seems to be almost annoyed or angry, but when I really look upon it in close reflection, I see a countenance of confidence. Interesting, not suffering, as it is so common in much Catholic iconography. So let us turn finally again to the painting. is all about choice. We have a choice. We have choices. Deuteronomy is about choice being offered to us by God. Quote, "Today I offer you the choice of life and good, or death and evil," unquote. Then after that, in Deuteronomy, we have much, "If you do this, then this will be the consequence," reason. Our reading concludes, quote, "I offer you the choice of life or death, blessing or curse." The Deuteronomist begs the reader to choose life, and then you and your descendants will live. Love the Lord your God. Well, our gospel reading is again about choice. Jesus says, "Choose me or choose your family." That's a tough choice. Choose your life or choose me. It's an even harder choice. Besides family and life, Jesus also asks to choose between him and all of our possessions. Perhaps the most relevant choice offered to us as we wallow in Hergé's painting is, are we willing to carry a cross and follow Jesus? In Hergé's painting, Jesus chose to carry an actual cross and to be led to execution for proclaiming a kingdom other than the Roman one, proclaiming a kingdom to which he is accountable and devoted. In the case of Jesus' specific lessons in our Christian reading, the cross is actually the parting with all possessions. And I really want to stress that. It's not some possession or a particular possession, but it's all possessions to part with it. How many of us are willing to part with all of our possessions? I will be honest. What has to be in the pulpit? My faith is not deep enough to answer in the affirmative. So we allow the Christian scripture to dialogue with the Hebrew scripture in declaring that if I am unable to depart with all my possessions, then I am choosing death and curse. This is a difficult confession for a minister of the gospel. I need to move during my life toward a greater faith in action. Yet, our cross need not exclusively be the parting with all our possessions. And our cross need not exclusively be an actual cross and execution as Jesus' cross was. My cross can be an academic career, although that's not much of one, but it is one. A cross can be the sacrificial caring of an aging parent who lives far away. those who have ears hear. A cross can be the decision to abstain from alcohol or drugs, a titanic battle. A cross can be the sacrifice of a single mother for the care of her young children. A cross can be the tithing of 10% of your income to the church, or a shaving of your portfolio to support a project this church would otherwise never be able to afford, but which is crucial, indeed an imperative to its long-term survival. A cross can be changes in your lifestyle that allow you to better preserve the environment. A cross can be your sheer exhaustion and mine, an exhaustion that allows the ministry of this church to otherwise exceed its statistical human and financial capabilities. And I have seen in this church over and over and over again sheer exhaustion. That is a cross. And it is chosen. If I were to give a cloth to most members of this church, no doubt your face would be imprinted upon it. If you tithe to this church, if you donated your blood, sweat, and tears at the Welcome Center, if you sit in two-hour-long mission council meetings, if you answer endless emails on behalf of buildings and grounds, especially on Monday mornings when about 15 of them hit, if you visit the sick and lonely in our church, then your face, the face of Christ, the living Christ, is imprinted on this cloth. This was the word of God, and it was preached